In the morning when I rise and I open up my eyes, when I wash my hands and face, and in every quiet space, when I greet my family with a table laid for three, every moment of the day I stop to pray. When I step out in the world and my day
Good morning. Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Essex Church and to this, our gathered community of Kensington Unitarians. Each week, our doors are opened and this building welcomes us in. We travel from the places in our own individual lives and we gather here, together creating a space in which to be. In this space, may each of us feel free to be who we truly are. May each of us feel safe to face what we need to face. May each of us be strengthened to explore new heights and new depths. Let us declare this day that we are resting on holy ground, that the earth herself holds us, and that the living energy of our planet, and indeed of our universe, is flowing through us as it flows through all that exists. Let's take a conscious breath at this moment and let go of all that we are ready to let go of, and breathe in all that we wish to welcome into our lives as I welcome you here this day. And today I bid an especial welcome to Razia Aziz and Catherine Guilfoy, our musicians. Razia's music stems from the mystical tradition and will bring a special quality to our service. It will encourage us to go a little deeper. And so today we're not going to announce the numbers of the songs and the hymns that we'll be singing. We'll just let that flow. They're listed in the order of service. And with each, our pianist will play the first verse for us, and then we can rise as we wish and sing. Kindling the flame that kindly holds all memory. Kindling the flame holds kindly all love. Kindling the flame holds kindly all life. And kindling the flame holds kindly all here. Welcome. Our story today is called The Castle Door. And it speaks less of the perils of dating than it does of our heart's yearning for the beloved. For this story tells of a prince in a distant land riding through a deep forest with his company of soldiers, looking so powerful and seeking as ever new lands to conquer. When there in the midst of a forest, up a little way on the hill, he saw a castle. And at that castle window, for a brief moment, a face appeared, a face that is said to have shone more brilliantly than the sun itself and yet more gently than any flower, and then it was gone, and instantly the prince fell in love. As he knocked at that castle door, a gentle voice asked, "Who is there?" "Well, it is I, the prince, known throughout the land for my bravery and strength. May I please come and be with you?" But the answer came, "There is only room for one of us here." And so, dejected, he rode away, travelled the lands for many years. And yet all his glory meant nothing to him, because that voice saying, "There is only room for one of us here," was echoing in his mind. And so in his desperation, he sought the wisdom of a wise one. "Perhaps your armies intimidate her," came the reply. "Of course." And so he went back to that castle, alone, and knocked on the door. "Who is there?" came the voice. "Oh, it is I, the prince, alone," he replied humbly. "There is only room for one of us here," said the sweet voice. And off again he went. Dejected and confused, he sought advice once again, and the advice came, "Perhaps it is your armour and your weapons. Lay down everything and go back to the castle door. And that's what he did. Knock, knock. Who's there? I, your humble servant, no soldier, just a man. There is only room for one of us here, came the reply. And so he wandered for 7 more long years, thinking only of his beloved. He sought wisdom in the stars in the sky and the wildness inside him. And finally, one day, he returned to that castle. He had no armies, no armor, no horse. He walked up the hill, he knocked upon the door, and in answer to the question, who is there, that prince took a breath and said, it is thou. And the door was opened to him. It is thou. Let's take that into our time of prayer and reflection now. Joining together in the spirit of prayer and reflection. Acknowledging both our power and our powerlessness in this moment and every moment. Aware of each of us in this room and the common humanity that we share. Aware of the individuality within which we live, yet able in times such as this perhaps to melt a little, to know that we are part of something greater than ourselves, our little lives part of something infinitely greater, comforted perhaps by a whispered message from that which we hold to be divine, a whispered message that tells us, you are not alone. Whatever grief or joy you carry this day, whatever secret hope or shame is yours, know that it is not yours alone. Whatever you carry that is burdensome, offer it up now. Offer it up to the God of your heart, or to the earth, or to the universe itself. Do not suffer from the illusion that you carry a burden alone, or that any experience is unique to you. Every path has the footsteps of others upon it. Only the particular step, the gate, the movement in the dance, only that is uniquely yours, the particular gift and flavour you bring to this remarkable banquet called life. And as we offer up our own life issues this day, let us offer too the issues of our world. Let us hold in our hearts and offer up to a power greater than ourselves the unbearable suffering of people in our world. All those caught up in conflicts. This day we might think of those in Palestine and Israel, in Syria and Iraq, the people of Afghanistan who yearn for peaceful government, those in Nigeria who ache for peace, and all other places where troubles reign. In our individual lives, as well as in our shared collective existence. May this day all beings be healed and know their wholeness, and may we find peace within our hearts and an understanding of the part we can best play in this mysterious thing, this thing called life. Amen.
One night, a man was crying, Allah, Allah. His lips grew sweet with the praising, until a cynic said, "How? I've heard you calling out. But have you ever gotten any response?" The man had no answer to that. He quit praying and fell into a confused sleep. He dreamed he saw Kidra, the guide of souls, in the thick green foliage. "Why did you stop praising?" "Because I never heard anything back." "This longing you express is the return message. The grief you cry from draws you towards union. Your pure sadness that wants help is the secret cup. Listen to the moan of the dog for its master. That whining is the connection. There are love dogs that nobody knows the name of. Give your life to be one of them."
Kabir was a mystic poet and a saint of India who lived in the 15th century. His writings have greatly influenced the Bhakti religious movement. The name Kabir comes from Arabic, Al-Kabir, which means the great, the 37th name of God in Islam. In the following poem, which will lead us into a time of silent meditation, Kabir is writing about the illusions of existence and of separation that can really confuse us humans, as well as of our yearning for connection. He writes that nothing exists, and then reminds us to inhibit our bodies fully. A very intriguing contradiction for all who choose the mystic path in life. I said to the wanting creature inside me, "What is this river that you want to cross?" "There are no travellers on the river road. No road. Do you see anyone moving about on that bank or resting?" "There is no river at all, and no boat. And no boatman. There is no tow rope either, and no one to pull it. There is no ground, no sky, no time, no bank, and no ford. And there is no body. And no mind. Do you believe there is some place that will make the soul less thirsty? In that great absence, you will find nothing. Be strong then, and enter into your own body. There, you have a solid place for your feet. Think about it carefully. Don't go off somewhere else." Kabir says this: "Just throw away all thoughts of imaginary things and stand firm in that which you are." And so, I invite you now to enter into a time of silent meditation together, letting go of anything you do not need to hold on to, in your hands, in your minds. This can be a time of letting go, and opening to that which is. Soften your gaze and close your eyes. Allow the gentle rhythm of your breathing to take you deeper, merging with all that is. Enjoying these few moments of shared silence, which will come to an end with a chime from our Tibetan bowl and singing from Razia and Catherine.
We humans are strange and contradictory creatures, are we not? Blessed and cursed by our knowledge that we live finite lives on a planet that spins in some corner of an unimaginably vast universe. We find ourselves at different stages of our lives both yearning for connection and yearning for independence. I don't think I'm the only one who uses that metaphor of life as a journey. And I think one of the intriguing elements of such a view of life is the way that it allows us to acknowledge that we travel both alone and in the company of others. We know we exist as separate, individual, independent human beings because our every sense tells us that this is so. Oh yes, we know our separateness. And at times, I think especially when our journey takes us through those difficult times, that separateness can feel unbearably painful. And yet, and this is the contradiction of the mystical path, and yet it is particularly, I think, in those difficult times, the times when our hearts really are broken and sorrows surround us, that we may gain a glimpse of a greater truth, the truth that we are not alone. For every human experience has been experienced before. Yes, of course we bring a unique element that is ours alone, but it forms part of the great human story of love and loss, of success and failure, of hope and fear, joy and pain. All these dualities that form the human condition. We who know our separateness, we who, despite our best endeavours, tend to identify ourselves by how we look in the mirror each morning, or by the jobs we do, or the families that we belong to, or the history of our lives so far. We then are like the prince knocking hopefully at that castle door, seeking his beloved. We yearn for that deeper connection, but we're often tied too tightly to our identities. It's easy then, isn't it, to make the mistake that we really are our appearance, or our intelligence, or our personality, or our wardrobe, or our bank balance, whatever. It's an easy mistake to make because on some level, of course, we are these identities. They make us what we are. Oh, but let's always remember the beloved in the castle would only open the door to the one who could let go of such identities, to the one who could acknowledge that God, the beloved, is already within. I am thou. And of course, this yearning for connection, this yearning to merge with the beloved, it's expressed in the mystical traditions of all the world's religions. It's the yearning for transcendence, for reaching beyond the individual existence of one human being to a greater reality where all is indeed one. And such a yearning, we know, has been expressed throughout human existence. Think of ecstatic dancing, the taking of hallucinogenic substances, the testing our physical being through fasting or long meditation. I think of the Ramadan fast of the world's Muslim population, some 1.6 billion people not eating or drinking during daylight hours, which I tell you is a real effort in this northern hemisphere in the summer months. And yes, such merging can be experienced at times through some of life's easier pleasures. In laughing with friends, in playing with children and animals, in that deep, intimate sharing, be that in conversation or through sexual expression, such merging can be experienced through sport or through being in the natural world. What gives such everyday moments a mystic awareness is the knowing that divinity is expressed in all such moments. And perhaps also in the accepting that no such moment can last. Our task is to surrender to all that is, the joys and the sorrows, to soften in response to pain, to hold on lightly when experiencing our joys, and to sense beyond the immediate the presence of the divine, of which we and everything else is part. That is what it is to be a love dog.
Oh,
May all beings dwell in the heart. May all beings be free from suffering. May all beings be healed. May all beings know their wholeness. May all beings be happy and at peace. And as we sing this three times together, led by Catherine and Razia, let's imagine blessing the world this day.
May this be silent.